Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Friday.
Here's John Williams.
That means the bright side's going to come your way today. Sure feels and smells and looks like an autumn day football season, doesn't it? Everybody's walking around with a long face in Chicago today. I saw more Green Bay Packers jerseys and shirts downtown Chicago today than I did Bears. That's for sure. So we'll all have a reason to smile when we share with each other something good in our world. That's the bright side. We do it Fridays at 2:40 after we review some fun things to do in the city on a September weekend. That's our plan between 2:30 and 3. Do join us. It'll put a smile on your face. I promise it. If not, a full refund. Good way to start the weekend as you get ready for the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis and company. We'll talk a little bit about what happened in the Bears game. I said to my wife, Brenda, and she listens sometimes, I said, you know, the one great thing about sports, it's just amusing to me, and I'm glad it's not my beat because it would probably frustrate me, is that you can be the smartest guy in the world and be completely wrong. Like if you're a mathematician or a scientist or, I don't know, you know, if you're a lot of things and you're one of the best people in the world, you're right. You are so right. The over-under in yesterday's football game was 46 points. A total of 13 were scored, three of them by our side. And we were supposed to win, and it was supposed to be all of these things. It was nothing as was advertised. And all the smart people, even the smartest people in Vegas who put their money on the line, were wrong about a lot of stuff yesterday. I mean, I could have been smarter than that, and I'm just a go-along. So I'm like, yeah, I think we're going to win 12 games. We're, you know, 46, I'll take the over. It's going to be close. It was nothing like was advertised. I kept adjusting my set. I wanted to make sure I had the right game on. We'll talk a little bit more about what happened with some expert voices after 1:30. I won't dwell on that right now. By the way, Steve, Jen DeSalvo just did the news. You're back in the news anchor seat now, but you know, we have that Sterigenics story, and just one observation about that in passing. That company is operating in the Chicago area, and we have reached out to them for months, Elif and I have, saying, you guys are getting beat up in the news. Luke Cairo's got a really good ad telling people to go see him instead of some other attorney because they may have a suit against you. And we'd like to hear your side of the story. And they don't want to come on. And I don't know why. Maybe that's smart on their part. Maybe it's not. But they don't want to come on. But we sort of treat that company like it's some foreign power invading the Chicago area, when in fact it's a bunch of people in the Chicago area who work at that company. You know, they're not the villains, but it must be really weird for them to think that the company regularly is vilified in the press, seen as a polluter and cancer causer, and that's where you go to work every day. I don't know what that's like. I mean, you know, really, if I used to think if I had a job at a tobacco company, it would probably be hard for me to keep that job. I don't think I would work there. And if you're working at Sterigenics, I wonder if that's a difficult hat to put on every day. That's local folks right here in Chicago. The story that continues to surprise me, though, today is Sharpiegate, which, God bless, as Lauren Lapkus said, the internet, y'all are funny.
Oh, my God, there's some really good ones.
It got, like, the first three I saw, I thought were pretty good. If you just Google hashtag Sharpiegate, I think that's the best way to search it. There are so many funny things about how you can change the news to your advantage with a Sharpie.
My favorite is when they changed the check from Mexico to pay for the wall.
Yeah, yeah. They got a new check there. Somebody altered a credit score. The first three I saw were a golf hole that was enhanced to accommodate the ball that missed. The wall that was drawn where there is no wall, just a bunch of Sharpie sticks up and down. The best one that made me laugh, out of the gate anyway, was the one of the inaugural crowd, and there were just a bunch of stick figure creatures to fill out the white mats at the Trump inauguration. I thought that was funny. Maybe you didn't.
Did you see the one of, like, drawn abs on him
yes,
in a golf outfit?
I know. He's ripped. He's got a six-pack. You can see it under his shirt, man.
There's one of a credit score that's been boosted.
Yeah, right. We just mentioned that while you were grabbing the phone,
sorry.
I think. No, it's all good. It's just funny how clever people are out there, especially if it's not your ox getting gored. But in the Mincing Rascals podcast, which we recorded yesterday, and I don't know where you find podcasts, but I hope you find this one. We think it's pretty good. The Illinois Broadcasters Association said it was the best in the state this year, and it's Steve Bertrand and Eric Zorn, Justin Kaufman, and some other folks around here in town, and they kick around stories in the news, and this one came up, and I'm always pushing back on the inane versions of this presidency. Let's focus on the things that matter.
You think these nothing matters, right?
I try to dial down my outrage on things that aren't important. And this is such a self-inflicted wound, right? I mean, who's harmed by the president's getting this hurricane path wrong?
Well,
nobody. Nobody's harmed.
Right. There are people who the extreme are saying, well, the people in Alabama may have been scared and they may have made preparations, but I don't think they would have believed him when they saw that. So I don't know that anyone was harmed.
Well, it didn't have a very long shelf life because 20 minutes after he puts it out, the National Weather Service tweets, no, this is not right.
Right.
The National Weather Service corrected the president 20 minutes after. And I was arguing that the president was putting forward perhaps dated information, but he said, look, here's one of the paths, Alabama be safe. And then he blamed the media for manipulating his words. I don't think that's exactly what happened, but at least I could understand how the president started to go down the wrong path, and then he's so stubborn about admitting he's wrong that we had this Sharpie-gate self-inflicted wound. It's utterly unimportant. But maybe I didn't get the timing completely right, and maybe I should appreciate it more for what it is. But that was one of the topics that the Mincing Rascals talked about. And I thought Seth Meyers did a really good job of just breaking down the timeline. And we'll play a couple clips here for you from him the other night. The first one, I think, is just a very interesting point. At the end of the day, this is reminiscent of other instances where the president is caught in a mistake and can't admit it. He has no humor about himself. He has no ability to say, yeah, I got something wrong. In the case of the time where he called Tim Cook Tim Apple, remember, they had one of those long tables with a bunch of executives, and he said, it's great to have Tim Apple here. And the president couldn't even admit that he got that wrong, that it was just a slip of the tongue. It's the sort of thing you and I do every day.
So, and Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
What about Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
Slip of the tongue.
What's that?
Remember when she had a slip of the tongue? I forgot what it was about, but I remember her every time someone says slip of the tongue. Anyway.
Well, let's play the first clip. So this is just, you know, if what happened with Sharpiegate is emblematic of anything, it's emblematic of this.
The president is still playing cleanup after he referred to Apple CEO Tim Cook as Tim Apple.
We appreciate it very much, Tim Apple.
The coverage of Tim Apple has apparently gotten under Trump's skin. At Mar-a-Lago on Friday night with no cameras present, Trump reportedly explained to a group of donors what really happened. Axios reports Trump told the donors that he actually said Tim Cook Apple, like really fast, and the Cook part of the sentence was soft, but all you heard from the fake news he said was Tim Apple.
A few days after that, Trump wrote this. At a recent roundtable meeting of business executives, and long after formally introducing Tim Cook of Apple, I quickly referred to Tim plus Apple as Tim Apple, as an easy way to save time and words.
All you got to do is say, I got it wrong. But no, he's going to ride that thing out, make it a longer story than it has to be, because he can't admit that he conflated the name of the company with the guy's name. It's so easy to fix. Okay, so Seth Meyers then picks it up. But Elif, I'm looking here. So the next one on my queue says Trump bit five Seth Meyers. Yeah, so we'll do two, right? So Seth Meyer says, here's how the whole thing got started.
This whole thing started when Trump tweeted over the weekend that Alabama would be hit by Hurricane Dorian. And then 20 minutes later, the National Weather Service had to tweet, Alabama will not see any impacts from Dorian. We repeat, no impacts from Hurricane Dorian will be felt across Alabama. That was 20 minutes later. The National Weather Service has to monitor the president's tweets as closely as they monitor actual hurricanes.
So that's the tweet that said, boy, watch out, Southeast United States, or you might get slammed too. Be safe. He's very good at championing safety and letting people know that he's on top of things. But in this case, it wasn't necessary. But now he's caught in a mistake. He should just say, yeah, I had the wrong map, or ignore it, it'll go away. But here's where it becomes Sharpiegate, because he draws an extension of the hurricane path.
After he was corrected by his own government, Trump doubled down. As you probably saw yesterday, he seemed to alter a forecast on the storm's path from last week with a circle added in Sharpie to include Alabama. My favorite thing about this is that he didn't even try to blend it in. And then later, Trump was asked about the altered map.
He showed us the map earlier, the initial forecast.
Yeah.
It appeared to have been, I guess, edited or something to include Alabama. Can you explain how that came to make this?
No, I just know. Yeah. I know that Alabama was in the original forecast. They thought it would get it as a piece of it. It was supposed to go. Actually, we have a better map than that, which is going to be presented, where we had many lines going directly, many models, each line being a model, and they were going directly through. And in all cases, Alabama was hit.
So that was the part that I was defending the president with in the Mincing Rascals podcast. But the timing isn't on his side. And it's interesting, too, because the question that got that answer was, can you explain how that change on the map was made? And it sure looks like somebody with their hand, you know, just drew another half orb of the hurricane going into Alabama.
Well, I think it's been reported that it was, but right, there've been someone reported it was the president himself. Another said it was an aide who did it.
Yeah, I'd sure like to know. I mean, just to make the story complete.
I feel bad for the aide who did it, knowing, because they probably knew.
You know, this is bad. It's sort of like when the quarterback in class asks you to cheat on a test, and you're like, well, all right, he's the quarterback. He's super popular. I feel intimidated. I'll show him my answer on the algebra test, but I know I really shouldn't be doing this. And then we get caught.
Did you do that, John?
You kidding me? He was the quarterback, except he was the kicker.
Okay, so here's the next clip from Seth. And again, the president still couldn't let it go.
Everyone's going to be in great shape because we're going to take care of it regardless. But the original path was through Florida.
If it's 3 or 4 days old, then why are you telling us this? Why are you showing us a map of a hurricane that's so out of date you had to edit it with a Sharpie? Then the reporter asked the natural follow-up question, did you use a Sharpie to alter the map? And Trump acted like he had no idea what happened.
And that map that you showed us today looked like it almost had like a Sharpie.
I don't know.
It is so damning how he just keeps getting quieter. He's like a kid who hit a baseball through his neighbor's window. Who did this? I don't know.
It's his inability to tell the truth. And I guess this is where I got into trouble with the Mincing Rascals again, Steve. I don't think anything is revealed in this that we didn't already know. So there was Brian Stelter on CNN saying that this is one for the history books. And I just didn't see how this was different than him being unable to admit that he said Tim Apple or anything else. He just hates being wrong. He loves being in front. He loves being right. And when that doesn't happen, he can't be honest about it. But we've already known that. So I didn't. So I continue to be a little surprised at the legs this story has.
And so tell me again when I got mad at you.
Well, so you kept coming back to the conversation was going in various places. And I was laughing at this because I don't think it's because here's the trap I think that we all CNN say fall into. And that is the outrage. This is the worst terrible thing. And I'm like, no, this is our world. I'm not surprised. And you got mad at me and and start. And
I think this comes, you like to have this thing where you call the lie of the week during the podcast.
Well, yeah, we've recently introduced.
Right. And so you threw this in, should this be the lie of the week? And my point was, I think, and I said during the podcast, I'm not exactly, I don't have my head around it yet, but I think it's way bigger than a typical lie of the week because for a number of reasons, he called reporters in to give them an update on the hurricane into the Oval Office. So it wasn't a slip of the tongue or a retweet or something like that. It was an official act. And someone, him or someone else at his guidance, altered an official map in a ridiculous way to include Alabama in it. And he presented that to us. Now, to me, the strangest thing is I don't understand how it's like a third grader altering his or her report card. It's baffling to me how he thought he could get away with that by drawing that. And that's the height of the weirdness to me.
Yeah.
That he's either so
indifferent.
No, not indifferent. There's such distance from the reality or something that he thought we would fall for that, or he thinks we're so stupid, or his supporters are so stupid that they would fall for it. It's just a bizarre thing, and it's way beyond saying Melania knows Kim Jong-un. I mean,
that was last week's.
They took time to alter the map in a bad way, call reporters in, and then think that they were going to believe it. It's weird.
Does it remind you of when he was standing there with Vladimir Putin and everybody beat him up because the reporter said, "Will you call him out?" And he said, "I don't know why he would." And he meant to say, "I don't know why he wouldn't."
No, that was, well, there was two different things there. That was when they said, did Putin interfere with the election? And he said he didn't. I don't know why he would. And then later on, he says, "Well, what I said was, I don't know why he wouldn't."
And I meant, or that's what I meant to say. We went back and played the tape as though that would fix it. And I thought that was a pretty preposterous explanation.
Yeah, and everyone, it's sort of like that, but it's worse because of this weird doctoring of a lame doctoring of a document or something, of a map. I mean, it's like you could have drawn a stick figure house in there, and a flattened house. Look what happens to them there. It just was so bizarre, I think.
Somebody just texted in a notepad, and it has Bears 43, Packers 0 with a Sharpie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just think I think it's different than sometimes the president just reflexively says stuff that isn't true, and then he sticks with it or something like that. This was much more involved than that, and I just think, and it was done so bizarrely that I think it's way beyond the lie of the week.
Well, I think, and the most important extension of this, be it Tim Cook, Apple, or him saying I said something when clearly he didn't, or in this case, him altering a map, is that in instances that really are important and you really do need the truth, here's somebody who demonstrates time and again that he's so uncomfortable with the truth that doesn't flatter him that he just won't do it.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not like, you got caught with your hand in the cookie jar and said, "No, I didn't do it." This was, people are beating me up for saying Alabama was in the path. What should we do? Well, I know. Let's get this map. Let's draw on this map. Let's call reporters in and tell them, look, Alabama was in the path. Everyone will believe it.
Yeah.
And that's just so beyond understanding, I think.
Well, there you go.
And that's why I think it's bad. And
that's
I guess that's why. I wasn't mad at you though.
Listen to the podcast. It's wherever you get podcasts, it's free. And it's about two-thirds of the way in. And I literally walked away from the microphone. Remember, my next words to you were off mic because I just kind of went, okay, I'm over here.
Well, let me say it this way. I wasn't any madder at you than I normally am.
Point well taken. Dave, you're on WGN Radio. What do you want to say, Dave?
Well, for both you and for Steve, I so heartily agree with Steve. The best one that I have seen was a dartboard. 5 darts about 2 feet off the board, but with magic markers around each one of them with a big bubble that leads it all the way back to the bullseye. That was the best one of all of them that I saw. I am still laughing at that just talking about it, but seeing it visually online, I was like, yes. Oh, God, yes.
That's funny. Thanks.
It's wrong. It is absolutely wrong that the man does this. He knows he's wrong. He shouldn't be wrong. The only thing that I would say is that everybody needs to remember this come the 3rd of November of next year and say, do we really want this to be our president? I don't think so.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Yeah. Well, I hope the record will show that I don't disagree with you or Steve that it's wrong and that the president shouldn't behave that way. But I just got to get up the next morning and live my life, and I'm trying to not explode every single day. So I caution myself to sort of say, all right, I already knew that. I already knew that. This is just a different version of that. John, wasn't Alabama his in the election? The lie does affect people. John, he just isn't right in the head. John, the emperor has no clothes. John, the thing is, Trump keeps tweeting about it. He did it again earlier. He just can't let it go. This is, I'll tell you what is exceptional about this. It's that this is such a self-inflicted wound that this is so brought upon this administration by this administration.
And it was the most understandable of his mistakes. I mean,
right.
It's not a big deal at all to have said, to have gotten, you know, Alabama wrong.
Well, they had this spaghetti map of 1,000 different possibilities, the European model, the American model, and one of them, of course, was the southernmost trek, could have put it there. And he, you know, I think what he did was he thought, I'll be strong, show the face of the presidency, and warn America in the southeast that it's coming. And he had an old map. And either he knew that or he didn't know that, but he was operating with wrong information. And he couldn't let it go. John, CNN's weather guy reported that Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana could be hit as the model showed that the storm would cross Florida and go up the coast. I don't think that's the question here. It's that when the president tweeted that, the models had changed and those states were not in harm's way. He was, wittingly or otherwise, using dated maps to look presidential. It's 1:28. Steve Bertrand has stories that matter in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then we'll ask Adam Hogue what happened last night at Soldier Field. That's coming up on WGN. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. John Williams in the 18th story Skyline studio. After the Bears-Packers game last night, I went to a bar, and there were a few guys at the end of the bar talking about the game, and I recorded some of their conversation.
You can hang this one right on the head coach. And, you know, that visor, take that visor off and hang this right on him, because this offense, this offense that earned him Coach of the Year honors last year, right? Okay. Well, one touchdown in the last eight quarters of NFL action. All phases of the game, the Green Bay Packers came in here and whipped our can. But more importantly, we had no answers.
There's so many ways to go negative here, which I never thought was going to happen. I truly thought the 100th season, the Chicago Bears, this town backs this team come hell or high water. And what happened last season, the last game of the year, at home against the Philadelphia Eagles in our first playoff game in 8 or 10 years. And we go, but we had mentioned, Dan, first quarter, no touchdowns. Second quarter, no touchdowns. Third quarter, no touchdowns. With about 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, we finally score a touchdown. We open up at home again! The 100th season! The 100th! In the National Football League. George Halas, the founding father of the National Football League. You got this city waiting for him. Everybody thought that the Packers, and of all people, the Packers are coming here, we're going to tear them apart. At least that's what I thought. And to go again, first quarter, no touchdowns. Second quarter, no touchdowns. Third quarter, no touchdowns. Fourth quarter, no touchdowns. You got to be kidding me. These guys were not prepared. When I go back and I saw, looked at all the exhibition games, did you see our starters? All that shucking and jiving and laughing, juking around on the sideline. Now it comes to the real deal. And Nagy did not have this team prepared to play the opening game of the 100th season of the National Football League. That was an absolute joke.
You know, that's what happens when you don't prepare. That's what happens when you don't practice or actually play in a game. And I understand now why New England, you know, has won 6 Super Bowls. Because they actually prepare their players and they do the fundamentals right.
Hey,
when you have a 3rd and 41... 3rd and 41, guys. Think about that. How bad are you? What are you doing? And, you know, be you and all that other stupid stuff, this guy, that was just like that somebody just took a big, dropped something out of the sky right on the entire city. Because this was an embarrassment. It was a joke.
Glenn, in New England, you mentioned New England. You know who played in the exhibition season? A lot of their starters. Tom Brady played in the exhibition season. The MVP of the National Football League last year. Patrick Mahomes, who we passed up. The MVP of the league. He played in the exhibition season. None of our guys are quite. Nobody played.
It was tough to watch. I don't even like watching it. It's disgusting. I give the defense credit, but I mean, honestly, it was just a horrible game for both teams.
I agree. I agree, Glenn.
And you're thinking, how did this happen? We told you we told you how it's going to happen, and we said, hope against hope that this doesn't blow up on him.
Actually, it was two guys at the end of the bar, and then they had one of them on a speakerphone. Kind of kicking around the game.
I mean, the funniest thing about all of this is if you ever meet Ed Obradovich off the air.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who is the quietest, meekest guy.
I've never met him.
Oh, my gosh. He's just such a quiet, polite man.
I'd be afraid to ask him for change.
You would never believe it. You would never believe the difference.
Because he's that guy on the radio that's, you know, really passionate, really informed, and really upset when things go bad.
In person, when you see him in the hallway, not even close.
Can you imagine if the Chinese were invading?
At home!
I mean, imagine if it was, I'm sorry we lost the game too, but I mean, imagine if it was the tidal wave was coming or the Chinese were about to bomb us or something. I can't imagine him being more outraged and animated.
Really, do you think that the Chinese coming is worse than losing to the Packers at home on the 100th anniversary?
Not on the 100th anniversary! It's 1:41. Our Adam Hogue is WGN Radio's not only podcaster extraordinaire, but our broadcast expert on the Chicago Bears. All right, Adam, what happened?
Ooh, I wish I had more answers because...
you were on with us yesterday on the stream, and this is the team that you said was going to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, doesn't look like it now. I guess I would just caution everyone that it is just week one. I think there were a couple factors. I mean, and by the way, the Bears defense played outstanding. That's sort of getting lost today. Aaron Rodgers was certainly did not look like Aaron Rodgers for the most part. He had some moments, but the Bears defense was really, really good. So, you know, and that's the bright side, as we call it on this show.
We made all our kicks.
Yes, the one kick. Although he did kick the ball right out of bounds on the ensuing kickoff.
And then the next thing, just to prove to you that our kickers are jinxed, it was perfect, right down the middle, and then he kicked the kickoff. The easiest thing to do!
That should have been a warning to all of us.
I could have kicked it down the field!
We exhaled and then passed out.
He puts it out of bounds.
Yeah, I joked on Twitter when he made the field goal that Eddie Pinheiro's statue will be unveiled outside Gate Zero at Soldier Field on Tuesday.
Right.
And then the kickoff happened, and I was like, all right, we can cancel the statue ceremony.
Yeah.
But those were the good things. But I think offensively, that was obviously a complete catastrophe that I did not see coming. I mean, you could have told me that Mitch Trubisky would struggle. But there were games last year where he struggled, and they still found ways to score points because there's good players on this offense, and Matt Nagy's a good coach. So I think specifically that was Matt Nagy's worst game as Bears head coach. And there's only been 18 of them, but he's been pretty good. And that was a struggle, whether it was the decision-making, like trying to go for it on 4th and 10, or just the play calling on offense was all over the place. And, you know, there was no flow to the game. He pointed out he doesn't have a play for 3rd and 40. And I would say that's probably accurate. I don't think any coach has a play for 3rd and 40.
For some people, so it's play, punt.
Well, if there was ever a time, by the way, it was 1st and 40. And then it was 2nd and 40. And then it was 3rd and 40. So if there was ever a time to punt on 1st down, that would have been it.
Well, I'm a little also, I don't know if I'm surprised, but let's just note this. Bears fans have gone from, we love this team, we have the coach of the year, we have a quarterback who, as Al Michaels said in the pregame wrap-up, or, you know, ramp-up to the game, said, if this young man develops in year three like he did in year two from year one, you know, he's really going to be something special. And now, moments later, Chicago's completely turned on this team. The coach doesn't have him prepared. Our offense is suspect. We might not win nine games. Blah. I mean, all of that happened within the span of 2 hours. It's amazing to me how quickly people have turned on this club.
Well, but that's how bad the offense looked. And I will admit that it's a little concerning. Because part of, you know, that Super Bowl prediction I made right here yesterday was because I was among the people that thought Mitchell Trubisky could take the next step this year. Now, I'm also not among the people who are giving up on him after just this one game here. There's two separate conversations here with the quarterback that I think need to be clear. The one thing that'll never, ever go away throughout Mitchell's entire career with the Bears is that Patrick Mahomes, last year's MVP, was available for the Bears to pick in that spot, and Deshaun Watson, the Houston Texans quarterback, was available to pick in that spot. And that's always going to be part of the conversation, and I don't know that he's going to be as good as those two in his career. Probably not. But the other side of that conversation, though, is he doesn't need to be Patrick Mahomes for the Bears to win a Super Bowl, because there's enough talent and there's enough good coaching on this team. But he certainly has to play better than he did yesterday. And so that's, I think, kind of the concerning thing, that after the entire offseason, as much time as the Bears and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the general manager, have talked about him taking the next step, and being so confident that we would see that, and I'm talking about them being confident, not even me, that we would see that last night against the Packers, for it to look that bad. And he didn't get much help. Nagy didn't help him. The offensive line played horrible. So that's really hard to play well in those scenarios. But he just didn't look good. And I think that's what's concerning this morning, as Bears fans kind of freak out about the whole thing.
Okay, so then are you rethinking your prediction, or will you stand with your Super Bowl prediction?
Well, I'm not crazy enough to think this morning that the Bears are going to go 13-2 the rest of the way after what we saw last night.
Well, they could still be in the Super Bowl at 12-something or 11-something. I mean,
well, and I will say, week one can be weird, guys. The Saints last year lost at home, where they almost never lose, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who were horrible, and fired their coach at the end of the year. They lost at home in week one, and I think they won 9 or 10 straight games after that. And they were a really good team.
I'm sorry, but don't you – I feel like last year's opening game loss was worse than this year's opening game loss, in that it just looked like they had it won. You know, they were so far ahead. Aaron Rodgers was hurt, and then they came back and, you know, were crushed.
Well, the difference to me, Steve, and I agree with you that in the moment – and the way in which they lost last year was worse. To blow a 20-0 lead in a game that had not as much hype as last night, but it still had a lot of hype. It was a Sunday night game, week one against the Packers, Matt Nagy's first game as head coach. I think in the moment, that one felt, you know, more tragic to blow the lead. The difference to me, though, is even though they lost that game on the Monday following, so the equivalent of today, I was able to go on the radio and say, you know what, though? I saw a lot of progress. I saw a really good defense. I saw an offense that got better. Right. And I'm still feeling pretty good about my prediction, which last year was 10-6. I thought they'd take a jump step up. And we ended up seeing all that. The problem I'm having this morning is I did not see that offensive performance coming last night. I mean, that was horrible. And I think that it's fair to be concerned about that this morning. And that brings a little bit more of a level of concern in the big picture of the entire year.
Adam Hogue on WGN Radio follows the Bears for us. I hope you listen to his podcast, Hogue and Johns on the Bears. What do you think of not playing the regulars in the preseason? Is that what we saw last night?
Well, I think you got to acknowledge it at least a little bit. Even like Matt Nagy's play calling would he have benefited from seeing some of those plays that he wanted to run?
I was thinking that. I mean, it's the coach, too, who in the, you know, I mean, he was calling plays in real time in the preseason, but not with his regular players. And if he could have anticipated, oh, my God, it's not working. What am I going to do to fix this? How do I generate a little offense here? And maybe it would have been good for the coaching staff, too.
Now, the other side of that coin is coaches are so paranoid in the preseason that I don't know if he would have been calling the same plays that he wanted to run last night.
Yeah.
And it's worth pointing out that he had offensive coordinator Mark Helfrich call the plays in the third preseason game just to get him some experience. And in the fourth preseason game, he had Dave Ragone, the quarterback's coach, calling plays just to get him some experience, which is really cool that he does that. But you look back on it and you go, all right, well, he actually hadn't even called plays in 3 or 4 weeks. So I don't know if that, I think it's all part of the equation. I'm a believer that keeping your guys healthier is more important than, you know, coming out of the gate looking like you're in midseason form in week one, which is usually never the case anyway.
Yeah.
But I think even Aaron Rodgers would have benefited from some throws in the preseason because he looked rusty at times last night, too.
Well, who do we play next week? Has that been published? Is there any way to find out? Has that information been made public?
Well, great news, guys. The Bears will get former defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, now head coach of the Denver Broncos last week. He knows nothing about the Bears' offense, so and he's not a good defensive coach at all. Yeah, it doesn't get any easier next week, guys. This is already now the Broncos aren't a great team, and their offense is pretty bad, but what is Vic Fangio going to do to this Bears offense after what we saw last night? That's kind of a scary thought. If there's any good news, the Bears are going to have 4 extra days to prepare for this game, and the Broncos will because they play on Monday Night Football against the Raiders.
Was there a moment last night where, because, you know, the first quarter, you thought, all right, well, still 3 quarters, and then you know, getting close to the end of the first half, I thought, well, maybe the second half. What was the moment last night where you said, oh, wow, this is it? I mean, we're in serious trouble. When did you realize that?
Yeah, I think it was late in the third when Matt Nagy decided to go for it on 4th and 10. It was a decision that just kind of reeked of desperation and frustration. Right before that, to set it up, the Bears could have kicked a 51-yard field goal there. And that's not an easy field goal, especially for a kicker that you probably don't trust entirely yet, Eddie Pinheiro. But it's well within his range. He's got a huge leg. And it was 7-3 at that time, so it's not like the field goal ties the game. I understand that. But right before that, the Bears had a shot downfield to Allen Robinson, and he got pushed out of bounds right at the last second, so it was incomplete. But the Bears would have been like at the 5-yard line in really good position if that ball had been completed. And then right after that, they got called for a delay of game. And Nagy said today that without that delay of game, it would have been a 46-yard field goal, and they would have attempted it. It would have been within the range that they had set pregame. All that being said, if you're not trusting your kicker there, then I would have punted. Because the chances of converting a 4th and 10 with the way the offense had looked were not really high. So I just got this feeling in that moment that things were starting to get out of hand, even for the head coach. And he was getting frustrated with his decision-making, too.
Yeah.
And that's when it was like, yeah, this might actually be a loss here today.
What was Mitch Trubisky doing wrong? Because it didn't seem to me like the running game was going great and giving him a lot of options to pass that – I didn't see – there was one instance where a wide receiver was wide open, and it reminded me of that game last year where the guy was open in the end zone and he didn't throw it to him. And this time there's a guy open over by the left sideline down a ways, and I'm like, wow, why didn't you pass it to him? I remember that. But my recollection of his passing last night was that guys weren't entirely wide open, and when he was going for them, the ball was just sailing over their heads. Okay, that's my recollection. What did Trubisky do wrong last night?
No, you're on the right track. I mean, it's all part of it. He missed some throws high. He missed some guys that were open that he didn't even pull the trigger. You know, in a game where he didn't get much help, I mentioned that before, the offensive line did not play well in front of him. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers last year was sacked 53 times. I'm sorry, he was sacked 49 times. That offensive line gave up 53 sacks. So he wasn't playing behind a good offensive line all year. The point I'm making is that's something quarterbacks have to deal with in the NFL. You're not always going to get great protection. You're not always going to have a good running game. And the great quarterbacks find a way to get past that. And so I thought Mitch's mechanics broke down a little bit sometime. He was throwing tentative. He was not throwing with conviction. And so that was part of the problem. And then we learned today, and I saw it on tape too. I mean, there was a huge run-to-pass disparity. They should have run the ball more. But Matt Nagy said today, you know, they have what they call RPOs in the offense, run-pass option, which gives Mitch Trubisky the option to throw the ball instead of hand it off to the wide receiver. It's built in into the play. And so there were some play calls that were supposed to be runs that Mitch turned them into passes, and they didn't go that well. So I think it's decision-making. I think it's accuracy. It was all across the board. It just was not a good game for the quarterback, and he knows that.
I was just watching the highlights on CLTV while you were talking at him, and they did lose again.
So are they 0-2 now?
Hey, you know who's not 0-1 is you, my friend. Keep doing the good work, and maybe your prediction, though you're a little softer on it now than you were yesterday, will yet come true. I hope so for all of us. It's good to talk to you, Adam.
All right, thanks, guys. 15 more games, so there's still plenty of season left.
When's your next podcast drop?
Well, we had one last night that we recorded after the game, so people can listen to that today at WGNRadio.com, iTunes, wherever you listen to your podcast. It's there for you.
And what do I type in when I'm searching for it?
Good question. And the answer is just type in Hoge and Johns, H-O-G-E and J-A-H-N-S, and that'll pop up for you.
Okay, stay well. Let's visit again.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Adam.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
You know who does.
Here's John Williams.
It's our friend Teddy Roosevelt. You got your tickets yet? Hi, it's John. We're in the 18th story Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago, till 3. Tomorrow morning, back in the same studio from 10 to noon. Yeah, looking forward to that. Northwestern football game's right around the corner, too. I mean, they'll preempt us some Saturdays, but otherwise... Saturdays 10 to noon. Remember, you can, on Spotify or to your smart speaker, dial in the Mincing Rascals podcast. Our weekly award-winning podcast was the extended dance version this week. We went about 45 minutes, a little longer than we normally do. Had a lot to talk about and had a little extra time. I think you'll enjoy it, especially at the end when I disclosed what was given to us information off the record. And then you guys said, you can't say off the record stuff. Turns out I could, but it was kind of a funny turn of events at the end of the podcast.
yeah, I just jumped in here late. I'm sorry.
I called the source right after we taped that and said, hey, are you cool with us releasing this information? And the source said, yes, you can say that. So I'm pretty sure we're okay.
Right. Generally, if someone says off the record, though.
I respect that 100%. In fact, do you do that on occasion? You'll ask people, and then you'll see them make a face, and you say... We can do this off the record without attribution. I mean, there's a lot of ways to accommodate that.
Oh, yeah, I did it this week. Sure, absolutely.
And so that's kind of where we were. But then, you know, it was kind of a fluid situation when it was happening. And I thought, no, which was which? And on the podcast, I said something that you guys called me on. Afterwards, I double-checked with the source. They said, you're okay. The Mincing Rascals. I think you'll enjoy it. I know you'll enjoy this just because we've done it so many times and it keeps going so well. Teddy Roosevelt is going to stand on stage with me. This will be at the Elgin Community College Blizzard Theater, October 12th at 10:30 in the morning. If you have not done one of these shows, come to this one. And if you've done one of these before, you know how much fun they are, and they're worth coming back to. This time, Teddy Roosevelt and you and I will talk about, well, I'm not sure what all. I mean, if it was today, we'd ask him how he'd handle the hurricane, or how he would handle immigration, or how he would handle guns, or what he has to say about certain contemporary topics. It's the voice of one of our greatest presidents. He's on Mount Rushmore for a reason. But it's also fun to hear him tell stories about being a cowboy in the Badlands and charging up San Juan Hill and doing some of the other extraordinary things he did. We really have not had a president like Roosevelt. And when he comes on stage in costume as that person, you'll believe. And it's really heartwarming, hilarious, and as tragic a story as you'll hear on stage. Depending on which anecdotes we go to, you get to ask questions too. Have you come? Do. You can get all the details you want by calling 847-622-0300, 847-622-0300, or online. This may be the best way to do it. Just go to WGNradio.com/Teddy. WGNradio.com/Teddy. Front page of the Tribune. You saw that poor kid sitting there curled up in his hospital bed, suffering from some sort of illness in his lungs as a result of vaping. And I've got a lot of questions about the safety and practice of these things. Dr. Albert Rizzo is on a phone line. Dr. Rizzo is with the American Lung Association. I'm just looking for the exact introduction here. And Aleph, now I don't see it. Chief Medical Officer. Dr. Rizzo, welcome to the show. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Where exactly are you, sir?
I'm in Delaware. Wilmington, Delaware.
That's where you folks are headquartered?
No, our headquarters is in Chicago, but I still practice a little bit, so I'm in Wilmington, Delaware, where my practice is.
I see. Probably good in that position to still be practicing and seeing things. Do you have patients come in who are suffering from some ill effects from vaping?
Well, fortunately, I've not seen any of them yet, and hopefully I won't, but I have not.
What's going on here, and can you put things in perspective for us? That is, the numbers seem large, but relative to other diseases from, say, tobacco use, maybe it's not as bad as we're making it sound. Give me some perspective.
Well, I think the concern is the numbers may be small now, but they're exponentially increasing over the last couple of months. And some of that may be that people, physicians, emergency rooms are starting to recognize that these are symptoms that may be related to vaping a substance. So I think we just don't know the extent of what might be occurring over these last couple of months and how quickly it may or may not be able to be controlled. That's why I think it's important that the CDC and FDA are continuing to investigate all the cases. I think, unfortunately, we're up over 400 cases, and also, unfortunately, at least three deaths are confirmed to be related to this.
Is it people who are vaping THC, or are they vaping just the normal oils from Juul and things like that?
It seems to be a little bit of everything. A lot of this is based on the history that can be obtained from patients as to what they've been vaping, how much they've been vaping. There certainly have been a number of brands that have been used, both different THC brands as well as different electronic cigarette brands. So, again, we can't blame one product or one ingredient at this point. It could be multiple ingredients, and it also could be the way the ingredients have been manipulated or changed with regard to the device that's being used. So still a lot of unanswered questions.
Do we have better regulation on tobacco than we do on Juul products?
That's correct. I mean, these cigarettes were put under the FDA's authority actually several years ago. They were deemed to be tobacco products. But again, the ability to regulate them has been very slow to develop for a number of reasons. I mean, the American Lung Association has been concerned that there has been developing an epidemic of use among adolescents. High schoolers, middle schoolers are vaping much more now than they were 4 or 5 years ago. And I think that's the problem of a whole new generation getting addicted to nicotine, because that is the main product in all of these electronic cigarettes or vaping devices.
But nicotine is not the harmful thing about tobacco. Is that correct?
That is correct. However, the nicotine is the addicting substance that makes people keep going back and makes it hard for individuals to get off any substance, any device that has nicotine in it. So, right. The addiction is the harmful thing.
Well,
as
I guess
as the products.
Right, but follow me here for a second.
Sure.
If I were going to be addicted to something, better I don't get addicted to tobacco. Better I get that nicotine fix, if you will. But then it's something more harmless, and that would be a vaping product.
Yes, in certain cases. In the adolescent, unfortunately, nicotine can be harmful because it changes the brain. The brain is developing at a different stage at that point in our lives as compared to an adult who uses a vaping device. So nicotine can be harmful, and nicotine does lead to heart disease as well. So it doesn't have all the things that a tobacco product can have as far as lung cancer, COPD, things of that nature. But I think it's a bad message to say that it's necessarily safer. And unfortunately, nicotine addiction does lead as a gateway to more smoking of cigarettes.
Yeah.
That's been shown by a number of studies.
Well, the other thing is, you know, it generates such a cloud, and maybe it's just vapor and that's okay, but it just strikes me as incongruous to think that you could put that much smoke in your lungs or smoky vapor in your lungs and it be, you know, harmless. You know what I mean?
Vape is not just water vapor. That contains chemicals, metals, chemicals that are irritating to the lungs, and ultrafine particles that get into the airways. And both the Surgeon General as well as the National Academy of Sciences have shown that even secondhand exposure to emissions of e-cigarettes can be harmful to individuals.
Now, the president of one of those vaping companies, I don't know if it was Juul, I think it might have been, was on one of the morning shows this week, the CBS Morning News.
Sure.
And he said that when his daughter confronted him with his taking over leadership of this company, he said, well, I have an opportunity here to fight the number one killer in the history of this country from tobacco. So he saw himself on the vanguard of getting people off of tobacco. He actually was pitching it as him doing something beneficial.
Well, a lot of us in the public health field would love to have something safer than cigarettes. I think, unfortunately, the e-cigarette explosion over the last 5 to 7 years has been done without the research needed to have people really know what they're doing with an e-cigarette. None of the e-cigarettes have been shown to be definitive devices for smoking cessation. Many individuals continue to smoke even when they use e-cigarettes. So I think he had a good intention, but unfortunately the way it's all developed has led to a lot of unanswered questions. We really don't know what the long-term effects of using an e-cigarette are, and we're seeing some of the short-term effects of overuse and potential manipulation of devices to have chemicals in them that are harmful to the lung. We know some of them already do, but what else is going on is just unanswered at this point.
Yeah, and I don't know what his intentions were. Maybe they were good. Maybe that was just some cognitive dissonance where he's trying to justify being CEO of a big-time company, knowing he's really selling something that's harmful to people. So when these, but you know, the other thing that jumps out at me, Dr. Albert Rizzo on a phone line, Chief Medical Officer for the American Lung Association. We're talking about vaping and some of these illnesses that are coming forward, notably from people that are vaping THC, but the doctor says it's coming from a whole host of things that people are taking in. It's the age. You know, like people who get sick from tobacco get sick after years of use of cigarettes and whatever. It's yes. Striking to me that these people are 19 years old and they're coming down with some sort of lung disease.
Can I just interject a little bit?
Hold on 1 second, doctor. Yeah. Yes, Steve.
There has been another death today in Minnesota, and that involves a 65-year-old man.
Huh.
So they're not all young.
I wonder, though, how long that man, maybe he had conditions prior to his vaping, but I wonder how long he was vaping, if that was the cause of his illness or death. But thank you for that, Steve. Doctor, go ahead.
Well, you certainly bring up a point that a pre-existing lung condition in this age group of the young people could easily be asthma. So a pre-existing lung condition could put somebody at more risk for just a flare-up of their disease, let alone the development of a new illness such as the vaping illness. So I think that's an important thing to realize as well. I think your original, can you tell me what your original train of thought was there before we got interjected with the death?
Uh-huh. Steve, yeah, right. My original question was, how is it that people are getting sick at such an early age? They haven't been doing it for years.
Yeah, part of what may be happening in the younger age group is the intensity of using a device that may contain nicotine or THC is different from a vaping device as compared to cigarettes. For example, a Juul device may have as much nicotine in it as a pack of cigarettes, but it's very hard to smoke a pack of cigarettes in 15 to 20 minutes. But you can vape a whole Juul pod in 15 to 20 minutes. So the amount of inhaled chemicals can vary depending on the use of the individual, how often during the day are they using it, daily, and to what intensity do they breathe in. Yeah.
I got that. But they're not getting cancer, right? What is the disease
no,
that they're...
No, there's been no cancer developed as far as we know. Well, right now they're getting inflammation in the airways, and when it's looked at both on CAT scans or x-rays, and unfortunately, even when individuals die with this, they show different forms of irritation in the lung, forms of inflammation. No evidence of infection has been found at this point. And as you mentioned, no cancers, but cancers develop over years. And there are cancer-containing products in these devices. But I don't believe this is related to associated with these current illnesses. This is an irritation. Can't say an allergic or hypersensitivity, but some type of irritant is getting into the airways, causing the lungs to be inefficient to get oxygen into our bloodstreams.
Have you all given this a name? Is it called something?
Right now, I think it's called a vaping-related pulmonary disease. I don't think there's been any other name given to it by the CDC or...
He's still there, but I don't hear him, Elif. He's just all of a sudden dropped off. Doctor, are you there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you just dropped off. Let's do this. I've got some questions from our listeners. The number's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Patrick, you go first. You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Talk to us. What's your question?
Yeah, listen, I've been watching the reports and everything, and a question I haven't heard asked yet, and maybe not everybody's caught up with this, you know, reporter-wise, is that I want to make sure everybody's aware that there are black market vapes everywhere you go. So many people are buying black market vapes, marijuana vapes, and perhaps whatever chemicals, you know, how they do with other drugs, who knows what the heck they're putting in there. Mm. And possibly that's a direction to go. And then the other thing I wanted to point out is we're talking about a majority of 19-year-old kids that don't want to tell mom and dad that they're smoking marijuana vapes or black market marijuana vapes. So they could be telling mom and dad, yeah, I'm smoking a tobacco one, when in fact they're smoking the marijuana.
Yeah, interesting point. Thank you, Patrick. Doctor, you have a comment on that?
You know, I think he hits very good points there. I think the fact that we don't know exactly what's causing this, and many people believe it could be some manipulation of devices. It could be, you know, black market chemicals being put in or THC. So that's a very good point. And the other point is that parents need to be aware of potential signs and symptoms, as well as physicians. 19-year-olds aren't going to come in and volunteer they are necessarily vaping THC. But now with this rash of disease going on, we have to ask those questions pointedly. What have you been using? What specific product? Do you have the product so that the CDC and FDA can do investigation?
A couple of texts include these. How much are these people vaping? You suggested that if you vape a lot in a short period of time, the equivalent, say, of a pack of cigarettes, that might be more problematic. Do we know that to be the case, though, that these people
there's a wide range. One of the studies that's come out in the New England Journal looking at some of these cases have shown many of them have smoked within the last 30 days. Many of them have smoked, used the device on a daily basis. But the intensity varies and the product varies. And, again, we just don't have the exact answers to what device, what product, whether it's over-the-counter, whether it's a black market device, is causing this. So we have to keep our open mind as to what's happening.
630, John, I vape the THC, but not a lot, and I have no issues. So what about me?
Well, I think you're fortunate at this point.
Yeah. Elif, do you want me to take the calls instead of doing that? All right, we'll go to Kim. You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Kim. You're on the air.
Hi, John. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind?
This happened about a year ago. A girlfriend is sitting in my kitchen with me, and she was going through some emotional stuff, and she pulled out an e-cigarette and said, "Do you mind if I do this? You know, it's just water vapor, and I'm a singer, so I'm not around smoke. I mean, it destroys me." And I said, "Oh, water vapor, no problem. Go ahead." And because she was being very emotional, within 30 minutes, I could not speak. I was sitting next to her, you know, and there was, I don't know what happened. And after 30 minutes of her doing this, my voice was laid out here, you know. And I said, "You got to go. I got to sing, you know, tomorrow. I can't." And it took 6 months and 2 rounds of prednisone to get my high notes back, to get anything back.
Hold on a second. I want the doctor to comment on that. Doc, have you heard anything like that?
Yes, I think, you know, part of the reason there's this epidemic among the young people is the thinking that it was safe and it was just water vapor. But we know it's not just water vapor. There are ultrafine particles. There's small particles of lead, tin, nickel. There are hydrocarbons. There are chemicals in that vaping that even secondhand exposure will cause symptoms as they did in this individual.
Thanks for the call and good luck. I'm glad you brought that up. This one says, "Does vape smoke have tar? I doubt it. Stop being so vague." As though we're hiding the fact that it's really not that harmful, I guess, says Greg. What do you say about that, Doc?
Well, it doesn't have the tar that a cigarette does when tobacco is burned. The trouble is that the heated substances in these devices leads to other chemicals that can include some of the ones that are contained in cigarettes. Formaldehydes, aquilins, there are some volatile organic carbons and hydrocarbons, but not at the degree that it would be in a cigarette. So I think there's a matter of semantics saying that there's certain emissions from a cigarette that's being burned as well as a vaping device that heats substances to a high temperature. Both of them lead to inhaled irritants and trouble with the lung. The long-term effects of the vaping and e-cigarettes, we just don't know at this point because they've only been around for a few years and can't be studied because they aren't regulated.
Dr. Albert Rizzo is the chief medical officer for the American Lung Association. Kate, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, my daughter smokes marijuana with a vape, and she gets it's from a medical marijuana dispensary, and she says because it comes from there that it's safe. Is that true?
I think the short answer is we don't know. I'm glad she's not having any trouble. We just don't know the answers as to why there are some individuals right now that are developing this vaping-related illness. I think the best message for many people, and some, and I think Michigan, Milwaukee was saying that don't vape at this point. We don't know what the consequences are going to be.
Better that than the black market stuff, but I presume she's doing it because she has seizures or glaucoma or something, right?
Right, and she's got some medical problems.
So you're between a rock and a hard place. I mean, yeah, if that gives
I guess I could convince her to take it in some other form, I hope.
Yeah, well, now that's an interesting option.
Well, I think the medical supervision is important. If she's getting it for a certain illness and she's under the care of a physician, I think she follows that advice.
Kate, thanks for the phone call. Vic's got a question that may be on your mind. You're on WGN. Vic, hi.
Yeah, the simple and easy question is, since all these things are either unknown or are related to stuff that does cause problems, why in the world is it allowed to be sold in the first place?
We've been asking the FDA that for about 3 or 4 years now. You're right on target, and as the Lung Association, we've been asking the FDA to get rid of the flavored ingredients, to put more regulations on what these devices are, and it's going to take some time, but the FDA is saying, let us know what's in your device so we can approve it, but that's been very slow to happen. So you're asking the right question, and unfortunately, it's just not being done.
Are there age regulations across the country on who can buy Juuls? THC, I guess, if you're vaping marijuana, you're probably doing it illegally. Although, actually, it's going to be probably legal to do that in Illinois real soon here.
Well, there are age limits put on state by state. Different states have now raised the tobacco buying age to 21, and many are including e-cigarettes and vaping devices in the same category. So that varies from state to state, but it is an important thing to realize that making the age higher might diminish the number of people who use the device.
We'll call you again, Doctor. You've been very helpful. This is a little frustrating for, I think, all of us, if for no other reason, because we just don't have all the information, and for another reason, the information we have is not good. So let's stay on top of this. Dr. Albert Rizzo with the American Lung Association. He's their chief medical officer. Doctor, we'll visit again.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Steve Bertram.
Forget the bull in the china shop. There's a china doll in the bullpen. Walk with the switch, fire in the fist, lighting at the bit, swinging every pitch. Coach put me in like, forget the bull in the china shop. There's a china doll in the bullpen.
We played this song at our wedding. Brendan and I were ahead of the curve, let me tell you. Elif, what do we got here?
You've got Dessa, who is playing Talia Hall tomorrow night at 7:30, and tickets are $25 on TaliaHallChicago.com.
You going to go to that show, are you?
No. I would have, though. I didn't know about this show.
You're a Dessa fan?
Today I am.
Stars of the Lyric Opera are at Millennium Park tonight. That's at 7 o'clock, and that's free. Nice, cool night at Millennium Park. That's a beautiful thing. 7 o'clock, Lyric Opera singers tonight. What have you got?
Well, Sandwich Fair. Orion's been talking about this. It's already going on and will continue to go on all weekend. So you got carnival games, fair food, grandstand shows, tractor pulls, a demolition derby, and farm animals, of course. That's in DeKalb County. So that goes through Sunday. Every day, grounds open at 8 a.m. and the buildings open at 9 a.m. Also, if you go today, Scotty McCreary, 7 p.m.
I have a warm spot in my heart for the Sandwich Fair. It's one of the great county fairs in America. And one of the biggest, too, for Little Sandwich, Illinois.
Such a great name.
Sandwich?
Yes.
You know the town next to it, right? Plano. So you have Plano Sandwich.
Oh, gosh.
Those are the twin towns just down Route 34 from Yorkville. The White Sox are playing at home against the Los Angeles Angels this weekend. 7 o'clock tip-off tonight. The pregame with Andy Mazur starts at 6:35 on WGN. The Cubs are away. They're not that far away. They're in Milwaukee, and that'll be at 7:10.
Quick trip. I actually have family going up there for game. Also, Throwback Music Fest all weekend. You can hear retro tunes while indulging in arts and crafts, kids' activities, beverage tents, classic cars. That display is on Sunday. That's at Gladstone Park, Milwaukee Avenue specifically. So a donation of $5 is suggested. Things will open up today at 4 and then continue until 10:30. Saturday it's 11 to 10 and Sunday it's 11 to 9.
Ella's in my ear. She said, ooh, do the Anthony Porowski. Porowski, Queer Eye guy. He's going to be talking about his book, Anthony in the Kitchen, at Read It and Eat Wednesday at 4. Tickets are $26 on Eventbrite. He has another event, but that's already sold out. So he's a hot commodity. It's a good show, Queer Eye this time, and he's going to be Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Wouldn't that be an afternoon show, huh? So go to Eventbrite if you want to get tickets to that.
Very interesting. 79th Street Renaissance Festival is Saturday and Sunday. Auburn Gresham Community Festival with entertainment, food vendors, marketplace. That's on 79th. It's free, and it's from 10 to 7.
There are excellent reviews in the Daily Herald and Chris Jones in the Chicago Tribune today for the band's visit, the show that's at the Cadillac Theater downtown Chicago. I was there for opening night a couple nights ago. It's a 90-minute, no intermission show, which I love.
Wow, yeah, that's
and
nice.
And it is such a sweet, sweet story. And it's about this Egyptian band that's going to perform in Israel. They show up in the wrong town. They have to stay overnight. It's about what happens between them and the local townsfolks. And that may sound too culturally distant from where we live for us to get interested in. But as Chris Jones says, forget about the music and just know that it's stories about people connecting.
Right.
And music is kind of a means by which they connect. And I thought the music was lovely and the story was funny and sad. I couldn't recommend it enough. That's called The Band's Visit, and that's in town, I think, for a couple more weeks at the Cadillac.
Okay. There's also the Renegade Craft Fair Saturday, Sunday in Wicker Park, so you can shop from hundreds of artisans and chefs. A division will be closed from Ashland to Damon for that. It is free and from 11 to 7.
Let's do two more from me. Glenn Hansard's at the Chicago Theater tonight, $40 to go see him. And Oktoberfest starts at Lincoln Square tonight. It's actually up and running now till 11. Find out more about the Oktoberfest at Lincoln Square. Go to germanday.com/Oktoberfest. One more from you.
There's actually also an Oktoberfest in Itasca, just to let you know. But also you can run the Mag Mile Saturday. There's a 5K and a 10K. Starts at 7 a.m., but that's along Michigan Avenue. There will be closures on adjacent streets and around Grant Park. But pretty cool opportunity.
2:43. Okay, you'll help us with Brightside 2?
Of course.
Okay, so if you want Lauren Lapka to read your text, and I sure do, text right now, 312-981-7200. I'll take your calls as well. Oh, and we're going to live stream on Facebook. Like me on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. Elif will read some of your Facebook Brightside posts, and we'll wave to you on the radio. So we're live streaming after the break. WGN King John is my Facebook page. Give us some good news. Call right now, 312-981-7200. You can text too.
Some things in life are bad.
You going to play, Kevin?
They don't really make you mad.
Kevin Powell, you going to play? He's not listening, so we may have to whistle.
Yeah, he doesn't have his headphones on.
Ella's going to yell at him.
Oh.
That grumble. Give a whistle.
Coming around here, big boy.
And this'll help things turn out for
she's
the
like,
best.
Wait, what? What are we doing? Everybody sing the song at home. Here we go.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Yeah, he wasn't ready. He wasn't
always
ready.
Always look on the light.
Who prepared this man for the game?
Just had to loosen the lips a little bit, John.
Well, at least he came back for the second half.
And that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Lapka with a score. Hi, Facebook. We're live on the stream right now. WGN King John. You can watch us, watch you, and sing this little song. It's The Bright Side.
Always look on the bright
Call or text 312-981-7200. We do this on Fridays, sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. Always look up. I can't think of a better way to start our weekend. Hey, Kim, you usually jump in there with a bright side. Have you got one for us today?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, I had a Packer win last night.
Oh, no, gosh, no.
Always face the curtain with a bang.
Lauren Lapka, what's your bright side?
My bright side is a week from today, I will be in Vail, Colorado, getting ready for my sister's wedding.
Oh, what fun. Congrats to her in advance. Ella, do you have a bright side you want to share with the whole class?
I do, actually. I learned, so I'm in a new music group, a band, and Griffin might actually join, temporarily anyway.
Producer Griff?
Yeah, but I learned this song within 3 days on piano.
Wow.
And I'm singing, too.
Are we going to debut it sometime on this radio show?
When you're ready. I don't know.
Congrats to you. I know you've been working on your singing. I'm anxious to hear it.
Thanks.
Yeah. My bright side is I'm happy the football season is here.
Yes.
You know, so the Bears, whatever. Hey, we got Northwestern games. It's a nice time of year. Always look on the bright side of life. Okay, how about you? Let's start with Harvey. Hey, Harvey, you're on WGN Radio. Give us some good news, Harvey. What's making you smile?
Well, John, yesterday was our 53rd anniversary.
Ah.
Wow.
Congrats. And your bride's name is?
Joan.
Congrats to Harvey and Joan, my friend. Hey, thanks for the call.
Hey, John, can I tell you one more thing?
Yeah.
I talked to you a couple months ago. My son argued a case in front of the U.S. Supreme Court.
Remember.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't win, and he didn't lose. It got reverted back to the lower court.
That's what happens a lot.
We're still in the fight.
So it's not over yet. And by the way, who cares? I mean,
that's just cool to say.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Oh, my best to you all, my friend.
Thank you.
What are you reading?
I got two birthday ones for you. 630, my bright side is they're celebrating their 39th birthday this weekend, enjoying life for one more year until I get old and start falling apart. And 608 says it's both mine and my girlfriend's birthday next Thursday, September 12th. That's interesting because it's also my mother's birthday on September 12th.
Hey, Jan, what's the good news? Why are you smiling?
Well, as a long-time bright side listener, I am delighted to share that on Tuesday, my husband and I are going to Spain as guests of our grandson, Michael.
Wow.
We will be on board his yacht. He has a crew of seven for a whole week, visiting islands in the sea and on the coast of Spain. Wow.
I am so jealous. That sounds amazing.
You see, it's the other way around. The grandparents take the grandkids. You guys raise these people right.
I am so aware that he is obviously a very special young man, a former Marine who has done so well in life.
All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to bring some Bright Side of Life pins with you for everybody, okay?
Oh, Jen. Thank you.
Okay, hold on. Talk to Elif off the air, okay? Don't hang up.
I won't. Thanks.
Aw, Jen's so sweet.
It bothers me that she seemed to be as happy about the Bright Side pins.
Yeah, as the trip, yeah.
All right, what are you reading?
815, my bright side, I am a first-time grandma. She's almost 8 weeks old. Her smile melts my heart. Also, a fellow Manuka HS alum, 78.
Hey, how about that? Carl, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Carl?
Hey, John, how you doing? Well,
hey.
I'm cat-sitting this weekend. That's fun and different. But we've got the Frida Fest at College of DuPage this Sunday.
Hey, have a great time, and my best to the cat as well. Carl, thanks for the call. Let's go to Jim. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Jim? You're on the air. We lost Jim. Sorry, Jim. How about... let's go to line four, and that's Jim. There you are, Jim. You're on the air.
Yeah, my two bright stars are my wife, your gorgeous wife Laura's birthday is today, and her son got married Sunday. It's been a great week.
Wow. Always look on the light. Double whammy, I like it.
How about Paul? You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Paul? You're on the air.
Hello, my bright side is that I just found out that my younger sister is going to have a daughter.
Ah, so that makes you an uncle to be.
Yay!
Awesome. Congrats. Just purse your lips and whistle. That's the. Oh yeah, Elif is reading them as well on Facebook. I'm WGN King John. We're live streaming on Facebook. What are you reading, Elif?
So Michael says, I get to open the windows and get under some covers with the wife and watch some movies this weekend.
Very nice.
That sounds amazing.
We opened the windows today and it was so beautiful. Amazing. What else you got, Elif? Anything else?
Amy says, my daughter got a part in a show, which is really vague, but if it's Broadway, then I'm really excited
for her. Hey, if it's the Manuka Community Junior High School production of Guys and Dolls, I think that's a beautiful thing.
All an accomplishment.
Yes. Karen. Hey, Karen, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hi, John. My bright side is my husband and I are heading out to Vegas on Monday for a week of rest and relaxation.
Yeah. You going to play the games?
Of course.
You going to go see shows?
Maybe.
Yeah. More the games than the shows for you guys, huh?
Possibly, yeah. We don't know till we get out there.
Oh, well, that's the way to do it. Have a great weekend or week out there, for that matter.
And good luck.
Thanks, John. Thanks, John.
Yeah, no kidding. By the way, would you take... You can go then put money on... The Bears?
You put money on just about anything.
Yeah, no kidding. I was so confident in my Bears bets yesterday. Now I'm not so sure I would do that.
Yeah.
What are you reading now?
I have a really good one. 219, bright side of my day today is that my fiance has asked me to get married. And
oh, hey.
They said yes.
Oh, my gosh. Save
Yay!
That one. We'll give them some bright side of life pins, too. So, Elif, the couple to be married, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's make sure they
now
get a bright side pin.
Yes.
Meanwhile, let's talk to Kathy. You're on WGN. What's your good news, Kathy?
Hey, John. It's so good. And if I can do this without crying, our youngest daughter had 3 miscarriages. She went through IVF, and she's 25 weeks pregnant.
Oh, hooray. 25 weeks.
She's having a baby girl January 3rd.
Yay.
Do we have a name picked out, Grandma?
She's keeping it secret till the baby comes.
Well, she's got to call back. You got to call back and let us know what the name ends up being.
Keep us posted.
I know,
okay.
And you know what? I find myself wandering through the little girl section of every store I'm in.
Yeah, well, you're going to have fun. You're going to have fun. Hey, listen. Let's get a couple bright side of life pins for you all too. Okay.
Thank you.
Hold on now. Talk to Elif. We do this on Fridays. You call in, tell us some good news, tell us why you're smiling, and we smile with you. Isn't it a nice way to start the weekend?
Put me in a really good mood, because I've been down ever since that Bears game.
Gosh, why are you down?
Perfect.
What's Kim Gordon seems to be not having any trouble over there.
She's I'm having a great day.
Nobody asked you. All right, let's...
Love you guys.
Let's pause and get ready for the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Lauren Lapka, thanks for helping us out on the bright side.
Of course.
And the fun things to do segment, which we call the fun things to do segment. And Ro and Anna, I'll say hi, coming up next.
No, there's no break.
Oh, Elif said, oh, hey, John, there's no break. Just keep going. Well, we kind of ended the bit.
So, about that bright side.
Yeah. Wah, wah.
I do wish it was actually bright outside.
Yeah. It's kind of we do have a bunch of calls that are still waiting to get in. Actually, I want to take George if he's still there. Hey, George, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Where are you calling
from? Thank you,
John. Where are you calling from?
I'm Aurora.
Okay.
But I have a house in Indian Harbor Beach, Florida, and the hurricane did not hit it, so I'm smiling.
Yeah, I had a friend in Miami, and of course Miami completely missed, so they were okay. And then Elif talked to some family in South Carolina, and they were okay. But, you know, it's such a capricious thing. If you're in the path, it could be complete destruction.
We were right there. It just stayed there.
Well, so wait a minute. Is your house was where the hurricane hit?
Yes, at Indian Harbor Beach, Florida. That's by Cocoa Beach and all that.
Yeah.
It was there for a day. And luckily, all the wind did was just nothing. I mean, there was wind, yes. But it didn't tear the porch off, didn't tear the roof off, didn't tear the house up. It's just a one-story small house.
So that probably
thank
helped.
God we're and happy. And thank you, John, for being there.
One last thing. Even in the Bahamas, I saw complete desolation and then somebody's house is there. And I thought, well, maybe it's newer construction or it was built to hurricane standards. What was yours?
That's the hurricane standards. It's cement block solid, and it's a four-unit ranch house. And between each unit, there's a 12-inch concrete wall that goes all the way up to the roof. inside each, between each unit. So, well built. We're happy about that.
Boy, that's a bright side if I ever heard one, my friend. All right.
You bet.
Thanks, Paul.
You're doing a good job.
Bye, George.
I have another one from Facebook. I love when people are creative, and this person, Nick, says he just finished making a barrel of whiskey, and now he's going to start drinking a glass of whiskey because it's Friday.
Oh, yeah. I may join him. You know, the bright side doesn't normally get political, and I don't think it should, but I will say this. I have really enjoyed all of the Sharpie posts. All of the Sharpie Gate memes that are out there have been very, very funny. You all are creative, even if it's political. So that put a smile on my face today.
Yeah, those are the things you just have to laugh at.
Yeah, I hope we can all laugh at those. It's 2:58, almost 59. Let's go down to Studio A. Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, I believe, are standing by.
Yes,
hi, guys.
Searching for ways to put a smile on our face. And thank you, John. I needed the bright side today. A lot of days I just enjoy the bright side. Today I needed the bright side.
You needed the bright side.
I heard all that, you know, that positivity in the world.
Thank you.
It's there.
It's going to change when Ro walks into that room.
Well, he's not here yet, but he will be here. He'll be coming along shortly. And we have, you know, we're going to kind of lighten up today, lift your spirits a little bit, because we have Carnarvon Wagon celebrating all things green in the city as we get ready for the Green Tie Ball next Friday.
Right.
Grant DePorter of Harry Carey's will be here, and famous Chicago bartender Frankie O will be joining him. And so we'll be talking about that. We'll have live music Fridays, of course. We will talk about the vaping situation with pulmonologists at Northwestern, because I think that's, you know, big news today and a lot of people talking about it, many people affected. And we'll talk about your weekend weather and, of course, Lauren's List again. More things to do this weekend in Chicago.
Yeah, I will say this. I feel like I was denied a lot of summer.
Yeah, what the
heck? And I love fall. And so I'm not going to lament, but I really felt like I didn't get the summer that I wanted.
I agree. Yeah. I'm not ready for a bunch of gray. Today's a little troublesome for me.
And doesn't it feel like just as soon as the calendar turned, the weather turned just like that?
Well, ask your weather people if we have any hope for a few more 80s and sunny. I mean, I hope
that
we aren't
nice.
Done with that.
I think that's the big question, isn't it? You know, hey, September can still be gorgeous, and October can be gorgeous, too. So what's
ahead?
Have
a really good show.
You, too. Have a good weekend,
King
John.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you so much.